Hello, this is Rabbi David Felsenthal. Today we will be learning Bava Kamma, the fourth chapter, the eighth and the ninth Mishnah. Mishnah 8. Shur shehu yotze lehisakel v'hikdishu balav enu muktash. Shchato bisaro aser. So if an ox was going to be stoned, and its owner dedicated it to be hektish, it's not dedicated. If he slaughtered it, then its meat is forbidden, because it was standing to be stoned. Vim ad shelo nigmar dino hikdishu balav. But if the owner dedicated it to be hektish before its sentence was complete, so it wasn't standing to be stoned, muktash, it is dedicated. Vim shchato basar mutter. And if it's slaughtered, the meat is permitted. So, again, if you dedicate it to the temple, so then the owner has no rights in it whatsoever. And therefore, he can't slaughter it. Right? Because, you know, and etc. And if he does slaughter, the meat is forbidden because the ox is supposed to be stoned. And so therefore, since the ox is supposed to be stoned, the Torah didn't have to write that its flesh was forbidden because its carcass is unfit for eating after being stoned, and it's as if it's stoned already. Okay? But if it hasn't been sentenced yet, so then if it's dedicated to Hekdesh, whoever benefits from it is guilty of mi'ila, unlawful use of temple property. And even if afterwards the court then sentences the ox to be stoned, the Miri writes that the court forces the owner to redeem the ox for the value and give the money to the temple because it hasn't been sentenced yet, and therefore it was made hektish. And therefore, if the ox then is deemed to be stoned, he has to pay to the temple the value of the ox. And again, according to the Rambam, if it's slaughtered before the sentence has been passed, so then the meat is permitted. But again, we would probably hold like the Meiri that he would have to redeem the value to the temple. Mishnah 9. Misaro l'shomer chinam v'lashol l'nose sachar v'lasocher. Niknasu tachas abaylim. So if you deliver this ox to an unpaid custodian or to a borrower, to a paid guardian or to a hirer, these enter in place of the owner. Muad mishalam nezek shalom, v'tam mishal chetzi nezek. So a muad pays full damages and a tam pays half damages. Kshar balav b'mitzera. So if the owner tied it up with a rope, v'nal b'fanav karoy, and locked it up properly, v'yatzavihizik, and somehow it got out and caused damage. Echad tam ve'echad muad chayev. Whether the animal is a tam or a muad, he is chayev. Because he was supposed to guard it. Div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, tam chayev u'muad pater. Rabbi Yehuda says a tam, you're chayev, but a muad, you're actually pater. Shenemar, v'lo yim shereinu balav. Because as it says, the owner did not guard it. V'shamer huzeh, this one was guarded. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein lo shmira elasachin. Well, this says no. It only counts as being guarded if it's being guarded by a knife. So, the owner delivers this ox to an unpaid custodian, does not receive wages to look after it, or to a borrower who uses the ox without paying rental, or to a paid guardian, a guardian who is paid, or to a hirer who pays the owner money in exchange for the use of the ox. These are the different four types of guardians. So, these enter in place of the owner. These people now are in place of the owner as far as liability for damages caused by the ox. So if the ox is a muon, the guardian, one of these four, pays the full damage. And if the ox was a tam, he pays half damages. The owner himself is exempt because the custodians accept upon themselves to guard the ox so that it will not incur nor cause damage. Now, if they tied it with a rope around its neck, or locked it up properly with a door, which could withstand an ordinary wind, and the ox went out and caused damage, you're chayev, they're chayev for the damage it caused, according to Rabbi Meir, because he holds that the owner is obligated to guard it well, tie it with a metal chain, not a rope, lock it behind a door which can withstand an unusually strong wind. Now Rabbi Yehuda says if it's a tam, he's chayev, and if it's a half damage and a muad, he's exempt. Why? Because it's written regarding a shur muad, its owner did not guard it, meaning that was not guarded at all, But if the ox had been guarded, even in an inferior manner, then he's exempt. And the Miri writes that the reason seems to be that since it's known to be a muad, people also should guard themselves against it. And so therefore he's exempt. The Gemara explains that, no, he's only exempt from full damages, but he still has to pay half damages like the law of a shor tam, since its legal position with regard to being a tam remains unaltered. And the Rebbe Eliezer says a muad can only be guarded by a knife. In other words, he must slaughter it, because even if he guarded it well, he's going to be chayav if something happens. Tomorrow we will learn the next two Mishnayos.